I'm really glad to see all of you. Mondays are awesome. Jesus loves Mondays. I know that you must, because he does, right? He has no favorite days. They're just all favorite to him. But his favorite thing in all the world is you. One of the things I have to teach sacramentalists or liturgists, people who love liturgy, is always remind them that the most sacred space in any building is the space occupied by that human. Jesus didn't die for liturgy, he died for people. So how many of you know that God's a person? And actually God is all three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? One person, three persons, one being, one substance, but three persons, but one God. But God exists also now as human because Jesus is forever the God-man. It's amazing that that's true. But as person, what makes up a person, what we've always been told, is that a person has mind, emotions, and wills. And so do you know that when you read Scripture, there are times when God's emotions are sad, even though God's always a God of hope? When you and I say that, if I say you hurt my feelings, because of our fallenness, what we're saying is that I'm offended with you because you hurt my feelings. But feelings can be hurt without being offended, without there being sin in it. The Scripture says that God's Spirit can be grieved. That's feelings that are hurting. So I say all that to say this to you so you don't think I'm a total heretic, just a partial one. As we all are, we all see through a glass darkly, right? So all of us are heretics. So don't get too comfortable with how much you know. Or your favorite teacher. Whoever your favorite teacher might be, guess what? They're a heretic at some level. I was talking to the Lord about faith and grace. Because you know this, you're not saved by faith. You know that, right? It says by grace you're saved through faith. And so if you're trying hard to believe, that hurts God's feelings. So that's what I heard this morning. He said, you know, Chuck, when you try really hard to believe, it hurts my feelings. And I thought, Lord, I can't say that because that sounds heretical. He said, oh no, I can have hurt feelings, but never sin. I'll never stop loving you the same, believing in you, you know, enjoying you, but I have real feelings. And so if somebody were to say to me, if I were to tell somebody something and they say, I'm trying hard to believe you, that would hurt my feelings. Because it's saying something about me, then I would probably think that was pretty. Now, I would get offended. He doesn't. But it grieves him for us that we think so little of him that we have to try hard to believe. Because if you're trying to have the right kind of faith, if you're trying to have enough faith, you ever done that? You ever heard teachers who talk about faith so much that you think you have to say it just right, do it just right? You got to get the faith right thing. I mean, God's waiting for you to get it right, and then if you'll get it right, he'll respond and perform for you. That's just another form of the law. You're just being bent towards yourself again. By grace, you're saved. Faith is a consequence of getting a picture of grace. Faith is believing, is seeing him as he is, and there's a response. There's a place, and this is 2 Timothy. So this is a word that I hope will take some pressure off of you. We've said this before several times on Wednesday night. I'm not the first person to say this. But faith is not something that we do that gets God to do something for us in response. Faith happens when we realize what God's already done in Christ. In other words, he's brought you into union with Jesus. And Jesus, who lives in me, wants me to surrender, to trust him, to receive him into every situation. Because he wants to live his life in me and through me in every situation, in every circumstance. And what faith does, we've used the analogy before, your faith is not holding you up right now. The pew is. All your faith it did was allow the pew to do what the pew does, hold you up. But it's not holding you up. The pew is. Grace holds us up. Jesus who Jesus is to us in any moment and situation, in all the different forms that he takes as a free gift, is what makes the Christian life work. Faith just allows him to do that. Faith just trusts him to do that. But if I'm having to work up trust, I'm saying to him, I'm not sure if I can believe you or not. I'm trying hard to believe you. What does that say to him about him? How do you think that makes him feel? In 2 Timothy 2:13, it says, even when we believe not, he abides faithful. Huh? Because he cannot deny himself. See, we have to get this thing straight. Christianity is not a formula. You don't get saved by a formula. Your salvation is Christ. It's not because of Christ, because it is Christ. You're saved because you are in Christ. And it's him, it's he, it's Jesus as a person. That was God's plan. So grace saves you, not faith. And so if you ever find yourself in a circumstance, in a situation, you're like going, oh, I'm not sure this is going to work out because I don't think my faith is very good. I don't think I'm doing it just right. I don't have enough faith. What if I don't have enough faith? What if I don't do the faith thing right? It's not about how big your faith is. How sufficient is his grace? Grace saves you. Jesus is grace. It's Jesus offering himself to you in all the different forms that you need in each particular situation as a free gift. And faith happens. Doesn't make anything happen. It's because of who he is. Even when you believe not, he abides faithful because he can't deny himself. And so in the end, faith is looking to him and going, you can't stop being who you are in this situation, can you? And because I'm convinced that you're big enough, grace is enough, you're offering yourself to me in this particular form, in the form of peace or joy or unconditional love or forgiveness. You're offering this to me. You're offering yourself to me in this form as a free gift. And man, are you big enough. What the Lord told me when he said, Chuck, you know, when you try hard to believe, that hurts my feelings. Because what are you saying about me? He said, but when you quit thinking about your faith and just focus on me, that's when faith happens. Because all faith does is receive him. You with me? That's a big deal. Isn't it interesting that faith can be another form of living under the law? Romans 6:14 doesn't say, for sin shall no longer be master you over you, for you are not under the law, but under faith. It doesn't say that. It says you're not no longer under the law, but under grace. So this is a classic scripture. Gosh, I've known this since the day I started walking with the Lord. We used to use this a lot sharing the gospel with people. It's a great one. This is John 1:12. So I want you to see the connection between receiving and believing. That's what believing is. Believing is going, I see you. I see grace. And I see how sufficient grace is. Okay, I can receive that. You've just exercised faith. For as many as received him, it's all about him. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. That is, those who believe in his name. Believing him is receiving him. Receiving him is believing him. Y'all doing okay? For some of you, this may be the last vestige of being bent towards yourself that God's going to set for you. That you got to do faith right. It's bent towards yourself again, trying to perform. God hates Esau. He loves Jacob. He loves those who are needy, who look to him. Abraham, for 25 years, tried to help God out. Thought it was faith. 25 years. God had given them the promise, him and Sarah. He was 75 years old when that thing started, and he wasn't until 100 when the child was finally born. Because at 99 years old, he finally got it. Genesis 18 says, when Jesus visited with them, Jesus said, is anything too difficult? Abraham had laughed at him. God fell on his face, laughed at God. Sarah laughed at God. And then he says, anything too difficult for God? And I think that's when they got it. Because it says this in Romans chapter 4. And without becoming weak in faith, Abraham contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old. Oh, not when he was 75, when he got the promise. And the deadness of Sarah's womb. All right? He was as good as dead. That's what it says about him. And her womb had been dead all her life. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith. Huh? How do you do that? By giving glory to God, just keeping his eyes on God. And faith just grew, and he never even knew it. And being fully assured that what he had promised, he was able to perform. It was all about him. And then this last one from Hebrews. Hebrews from my ragged Bible. Verse 11, Hebrews 11, the chapter on faith. By faith, even Sarah herself, I love that, even Sarah. Thought I'd encourage, even Sarah. I love when people talk about the fact, and it's true, that when Abraham believed the report, he never mentions all those years of unbelief. No, but you can read about it in the book of Genesis. No, he doesn't. He doesn't. So it's like God honored when he finally just got his eyes on God. Amen. But he does kind of throw one in here to poor Sarah. Even Sarah. Can you just let the even part out? By faith. Now, faith is real, right? Grace, by grace you're saved through faith. By faith, even Sarah received ability. Didn't have ability, didn't achieve ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. What happened? She just got her eyes on him and considered him faithful. And what happens? That's faith. That's faith. That's what Jesus was telling me. Get your eyes off your faith and keep your eyes on me. Because it's about whether or not grace is sufficient, not whether or not your faith is sufficient. Because if you'll focus on the grace being sufficient, you'll run around and do all kinds of stuff by faith. But by faith doesn't mean hoping it's going to be okay. Because you're trusting that his grace is sufficient. Amen?
Amen?
I think the word trusting is a better word, actually. So when you look at someone who's totally trustworthy, trusting's not very hard. But when you're trying to get enough trust, how much is enough? Amen? I think that's why we talked about this yesterday. When Peter began to sink and Jesus said, "Oh, ye of little faith, why did you doubt?" Why did Jesus say that to him? Because he just got through telling him, I'm walking on water. And I said, "Here's the deal, I am. Don't be afraid, I am." So at some point you quit looking at me. And you started looking at this and that and yourself. And you probably were trying to have enough faith. And you sank. Okay? It's Jesus. Well, Lord, thank you for the simplicity of the good news. Lord, that we don't have to do faith perfect. We're in union with the perfect one. We don't have enough faith. Lord, we're in union with your faith. We live by your faith. You have total confidence in yourself. Lord, it's your grace. Teach us, Lord, to behold you and just to receive you into every situation, because your grace is sufficient. Amen.